Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Artist Interviews. I'm your host. This is Harris Jagenjack. And today we have another new artist with us. Her name is Abigail Jerry. Abigail, why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself? Give us your artist name if it's different than your regular name, and describe yourself as an artist for the audience.
Hello. Hello, audience. My name is Abigail Jerry. I am from Pittsburgh, PA, currently living in Nashville. I am a pop soul artist, and yeah. I'm a pop soul artist.
Awesome. So why the move from Pittsburgh to Nashville?
So actually, I was thinking about moving from Pittsburgh to New York or LA for pretty much my whole life. Mm-hmm. Nashville was also in there, but not as much as New York and LA. But then I stumbled across this opportunity to go to the Judy Stakey songwriting retreat back in the end of 2017. And so I got accepted in and I came to Nashville for that. And I just, stayed for a month and checked it out, networked, and, I liked it. I thought it was cool. It was a bunch of songwriters here. So yeah. That's kind of how I got here.
Awesome. And so it was more of like a music business move rather than like, you personally just wanted to move to Nashville because of scenery or something like that.
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely for the music. I mean, it's nice scenery too, but like definitely for the music.
What's the environment like out there? Describe the music scene for me out there.
So there's Broadway, which is like the more touristy side of town. And that is full bands, pretty much all day, all night. I mean, when it's not coronavirus, yeah. Every single bar, sometimes acoustic acts in the morning. And that's where basically like where all the tourists go, like I said. And then there's also all these little bars all around town where there's writers' rounds, which is where three artists get up on stage, three or four at the same time, take an hour to do three or four songs each, one at a time. And that's a writer's round. And I'm pretty sure that's really just a Nashville thing. So yeah, that's a big part of the Nashville music scene is the writer's rounds. Yeah.
Awesome. So it sounds like there's quite a bit of, special attention for the live music scene, I guess. What's it been like during the shutdown over there in Nashville? Has it been very difficult?
Yes. I mean, I think it's been difficult for everybody. I hadn't performed in a year. I mean, I just started performing again slowly and It felt like I never stopped once I, did a couple. I've done two shows since COVID, which is crazy. Yep. Broadway was shut down, me and my boyfriend, he plays saxophone. We drove down there a couple times and it was just dead. And it was so weird to see it like that. So yeah, it definitely affected the live music scene in Nashville for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did a bunch of the same here in Chicago and obviously across the entire US and maybe even the world. It's been tough. But I'm glad that, you're getting back to performing. That's obviously very important as a musician. Would you say that's like the main way that you market yourself or, where's your presence really?
Yeah, I do market myself a lot when I perform. I also have gone, to big name concerts. I've stood outside and handed out flyers and CDs after that. I market myself that way. I do Instagram and all that stuff too. Sometimes that gets very tiring, but
yeah,
no, I like to be in person to market myself more than online. So yeah.
Cool. What are some of the advantages that you have that you gain, over people who primarily just use, let's say only Instagram or only Facebook? What does it bring?
They get to see who you are. They get to hear your voice. They can hear your voice on the internet, but sometimes it's weird just talking to a camera.
Yeah.
Music videos are a different thing, but like talking to a camera is different than just talking to somebody in person and physically seeing them. I mean, it's the same thing when breaking up with somebody over text message is a whole different thing than like breaking up with them if you send them a video or like, text them, or if you're in person, that all just very different things. They get to see who I am, and I get to actually have a conversation with them in person. So
yeah,
it's a good advantage.
Yeah, I feel like it's a stronger connection to the fan.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but I hear you, because I'm a musician myself, and there's nothing better than, you know, the performance aspect and being able to talk to fans, you know, especially for us, you know, I don't want to call it underground musicians, but lesser known or maybe not mainstream yet musicians.
Yep.
You know, yet. It's cool. It's a cool aspect that we have, or a cool outlook on our fan base that we have, to be able to, you know, speak to fans, you know, no matter how big the show is. Talk to me a little bit about how you got your start as an artist. What made you even want to become a musician in the first place?
So a very, very long time ago, only a couple of years after I was born, I pretty much always wanted to be a singer. Like, I just, my grandmother would sing "You Are My Sunshine" to me when I was like, I don't know, could barely talk. And my dad's brother-in-law owns a furniture store in Pittsburgh, where I'm from. And they played me over the loudspeaker singing "You Are My Sunshine." And I sang "Crying" by Aerosmith for my preschool show and tell when I was four. So like, I've just always, I think my dad got me into music in a big way, because he always showed me music videos, Aerosmith, Journey, Cyndi Lauper. We would just sit in the living room and I would just want to watch them over and over and over and over and over again. So that's kind of how I really got, that's the very beginning. Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like you got some pretty good support from your family. Is that something that they like pushed you towards?
So yeah, they're super supportive. They didn't push me like to do anything that I didn't want to do. If anything, it was like the other way around. I'm like making them drive me everywhere when I'm little, and yeah. You know, but yeah, they're super, always super supportive. And, you know, they miss me being in Nashville, but I visit Pittsburgh as much as I can. And I love going back to my hometown. They're just super supportive. So I'm super grateful for that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Where would you say most of your fan base is? Would you say it's in Pittsburgh or in Nashville, or is it like spread, you know, far throughout, and you know, the U.S.? How would you describe your audience?
I would say most of my fan base would be in Pittsburgh and Nashville. Some, I think, you know, some New York, and some spread out here and there, because I do like to travel to promote myself too. Back in the day before COVID, and. But I think most of it would be Pittsburgh and Nashville, just because I'm here and that's where I'm in person and promoting myself more and stuff like that. And performing at fashion shows in Pittsburgh and stuff with Style and Glam has really, really helped me out with the promotions and stuff in Pittsburgh.
That's awesome. That's a great market to be in, especially, you know, I feel like more towards the East Coast. Have you ever done shows in New York?
Yeah. So I haven't done like, you know, super, super big shows in New York or anything like that. But I've performed in New York before. Yeah. I've done some bar shows there.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, yeah. You know, either way, it's I feel like it's an accomplishment for artists to be able to perform out of state. That's something, you know, I personally haven't even done yet, which I'm really hoping to do after I'm done with school and all the internships and everything. But yeah, it's definitely sounds like it's a lot of fun. Would you say there's a level of stress that comes with it, though?
Yeah. It depends on... I mean, yeah, there's a level of stress that comes with all of this, though. So I don't think it's any different than the level of stress that comes with any of the other, you know, shows or anything like that. Yeah. I think it's just super exciting. And just New York in general is just super exciting. I love it. And it's awesome to just perform, not just New York, like you said, anywhere out of state. Like the first time I did it, I was like, oh, I'm in another state performing. Like, this is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a blessing. Talk to me about, you know, what genre you first remember really being a major influence on your music.
So I would say pop rock would be, for like, from Aerosmith and Journey, you know, Cyndi Lauper is kind of pop rockish, but also R&B. So Pink and Christina Aguilera, back when they were kind of pop R&B more, like a lot more pop R&B, which is why I've gotten more into like the pop soul thing. So yeah, it's a lot of different genres that have influenced me over the years. And I would say the first few would have been the R&B, pop, rock. I mean, just, it's hard to pick one because I was influenced by so many and in so many different ways. You know, my dad introduced me to the pop rock, and I was just a fan of Pink and Christina Aguilera. So yeah, those were my super early on influences.
Okay. That's pretty awesome. So now I want to dive a little bit away from, you know, kind of what got you started, but talk a little bit more so about what it is that you do. Talk a little bit about your creative process. You know, how is it that you come up with music?
So I write songs. Before I came to Nashville, I wrote a lot on my own. I would work with a lot of hip hop artists in Pittsburgh. I would, you know, they would have songs, they would have verses, a verse, and then I would do a chorus and verse around their idea that they already had. So those that way, there's so many ways that I create songs, so many different ways. Sometimes I just sit down at my piano and just, you know, play some chords and come up with a melody and then come up with lyrics after that. Sometimes a producer will send music to me and I'll write over the already finished music. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm in Nashville, I do a lot of co-writes. So a lot of guitars and other lyricists and, you know, top liners that do lyrics and melody. And we just, it's usually like me, one other person, or me and two other people, and just a guitar or piano, and just from scratch.
That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, it's a little bit different for me. I mean, I got my start as a hip hop artist. But I'm also engineering and producing. So it's definitely cool, you know, when you think about like the creative process and just how different it could be for everybody. Would you say you enjoy working with other artists, or is it more enjoyable for you to be on your personal time, you know, just working by yourself?
It depends. So sometimes since I moved to Nashville, I haven't been writing on my own very much, just because there's so many writers here, and it's easy to be like, oh, you know, start a song by yourself, and then, oh, I have a co-write tomorrow, I'll finish it like with them, you know? So I really do like co-writing, because you get something that you would never get on your own. I mean, not that it's better or not as good. Like, it's just different than it would have ever been if you finished it by yourself. Yeah. But there are also songs that I want to keep special to me, where I start writing them and I'm like, no, I'm going to finish this one myself. This is a me song, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you on that. I feel like there's a certain level of, I don't know exactly what to call it, like maybe like distaste or something. When you look at like specifically the hip hop genre, for some reason, a lot of the fans seem to care whether the artist themselves, you know, wrote the lyrics, or if they had like, you know, what's called a ghostwriter. It sounds like it's really different when it comes to pop music and pop rock and stuff like that. It seems like it's more open. Where do you think that really comes from, that distaste in hip hop? Because you've worked with hip hop artists before.
Yeah.
What do you think, you know, that comes from?
I think a lot of it is, I think hip hop is known a lot for like freestyling. Mm-hmm. So that's my take on it. It obviously doesn't have to be, but I guess that some people would think that, you know, if in hip hop, it's all about the lyrics, like, you know, you're not singing. So it's about your delivery too, obviously, but I'm just speaking on, I guess, some of the people that think that way's part. I guess, yeah, like a lot of it started with freestyling, and it's like, oh, if you don't write your lyrics, like, can you freestyle? But, you know, I guess, but you don't necessarily have to freestyle either. Like there are freestyle singers and there are non-freestyle singers. So, but I think that would maybe be where it comes from, because it did start a lot out with freestyling, and obviously they're writing on the spot their own lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like there's definitely a certain level of it to that. Do you think it's, you know, obviously you said that you like co-writing a lot more than just, you know, having your own personal thing. How do you feel about that difference between the genres? Do you feel like there's some validity to that, you know, where it comes from that fan base, like wanting hip hop artists to be more authentic? Or do you think it's something that's, you know, doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things?
I've never been asked this question before. This is interesting. I like this. I think it matters for both genres, honestly. Like, yes, I like co-writing, but I think it's very important to still take that time to write by yourself too in both genres. I think it should be pretty equal. Yeah, because when I was younger, I had albums, I would always look at the inside of the CD and see who wrote it. And I would see like, oh, they didn't write this, you know?
Yeah.
And it did kind of rip my heart up a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's why I always want to have at least, you know, a co-write on my songs. Like, I don't know if I would, I don't want to say ever take a song that I didn't write at all, but very, 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 very rarely would I do that. So yeah, anyway, back to the question you asked, I do think that it should be, I think it should be equal for both, because at the end of the day, we're all artists, you know,
right.
and entertainers, performers, and we are delivering our lyrics. You know, hip hop artists may not be singing, but they're still having, you know, their voice is not just monotone. I think it should be pretty equal when it comes to writing our own stuff. I think we should all be a part of the process at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, essentially what we're really trying to allude to here together is it's important to have a balance of being authentic to your craft, but also being able to work with others and, you know, bounce ideas off of each other and, you know, not have a level, I guess, like not really be egotistical when it comes to sharing ideas or selfish. Yeah.
Yes, so. Co-writing has really, you know, it opens your world up. It makes you realize it's okay to have other ideas come in. You're still a part of the process, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can still write that song. It's just, it's going to be completely different without these people.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you on that. Talk to me how you've overcome, you know, any challenges that you face as an artist. Well, first, you know, talk about the challenges that you have faced as an artist and then talk about how you've overcome them.
So I think all artists come to the challenge of, you know, should I be still doing this? Should I give up? Should I, you know, when am I going to be able to really make this the only thing that, that I don't have to work another part-time job or whatever. So that's always a big, you know, I guess it's a struggle like in our minds. Right. And I think how I overcome that is I just tell myself that I wouldn't quit anyway, no matter what the outcome is going to be, I'm not going to quit. So what's the point of thinking, oh, I should quit or I shouldn't, you know, go as hard or anything like that. You go harder. Like,
yeah,
if it's your passion, you're not going to stop doing it anyway. So there's no point in telling yourself, oh, maybe this isn't right. Cause if you want to do it, you're going to do it.
Yeah. I agree.
So I think that's how I tell myself that all the time. You're not going to quit. So don't even think that.
It takes a lot of determination. Definitely. just being an artist in general, would you say that, it's tough to get people to support you?
Yeah, I would say that it is.
Why do you think that is? I feel like there is, you know, obviously everyone loves their like favorite artist, but you know, there's always those memes like, you know, oh, you know, my friend's making music, sure, dude, whatever. And then they will put on like whatever, you know, Mariah Carey or Drake or whatever they listen to, some, you know, name your mainstream artist. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's so hard to get support, you know, from an audience as an independent musician or as a smaller musician?
It's so true. I think I've heard that this may be one of the reasons is that, you know, when people come from where you're from, they don't want to see you go somewhere else, and they're staying there, not physically, just, you know,
metaphorically speaking.
Yes. And even if it's like, you know, say I do have friends that support me, but there are also people that, you know, like you said, they'll turn on a different, you know, artist and stuff like that. But it goes for that friends, and it goes for also those people that you're marketing to in the crowd, outside of a big name concert. You know, they just went and saw a big name concert, and here you are, and you have good music too. And it's just, it's very hard to get most people to even just listen to the song. And I think that's just because you're right in front of them, and you're still where they are, you know, like maybe they're not doing, you know, music. They're not, it's not the same place, but you are right in front of them. You're not a name that they know. You're coming from the same, you're in the same city they are right now. And they, you know, some people are just scared of that, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know. That's what I would think. And that's what I've heard. And I don't really know any other explanation. I mean, a lot of people, I guess, are just busy. Maybe it's harder to support an underground artist. Maybe. I think the first one might be more on it, though.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it really depends. I feel like some people, as far as like other musicians, might not want to see other musicians succeed, so they choose not to support because they want to focus all their attention on themselves. But I feel like the more you focus on supporting others, the more good will come your way.
Yes.
You know, it's all about, I feel like it's all part of being a part of a community. Not just of musicians, but of people, of a neighborhood, whatever, you name it, of a, you know, partnership of some kind, a club, a group, whatever. It's all about being part of a group and spreading love or a message that you want to spread. How much of that do you agree with, and how much of that do you actually apply to your life or your career as an artist?
I agree with that so much. And I think that since moving to Nashville, I've seen that it's like there are just so many good people, like talented people. And don't get me wrong, like there are so many talented people in Pittsburgh too, but you know, you're just around it more when you're in Nashville, and there's just so many talented people in the world. Yeah. It's just, there's no point of not supporting each other. You're going to get further when you support other people and just spread that love, and they're more inclined to supporting you back. And some people still might not, but hey, that's their problem. It's just better. And not to get kind of, on a sad note, but I did have a friend that recently passed away. We had a song together. He is a hip hop artist in Pittsburgh, and he was the most supportive person like that I know, just of everybody he knew. He would always try to get people together in a studio on a song together. And that is just what we need more of in this world.
I agree. I'm sorry for your loss too, by the way. That must be very difficult to deal with. You know, it's tough whenever you're dealing with the loss of a friend or somebody that you're close with. especially when, you know, there's a positive energy from that person. Yeah. And I feel like it's really hard in the music industry. Do you feel like it's oversaturated with too many artists in music?
Sometimes I feel like that way, but then I don't feel that way because I think everybody is an artist, you know, whether it's a music artist or a painter or whatever it is, like life is art. So I think it's always been oversaturated, but now we have the tools to see how oversaturated it is, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's an interesting take on it for sure. You know, social media has become almost central, I would say, to most artists and their marketing strategies and pretty much anything that they do as an artist nowadays, yeah. At least for newer artists like us. How much of that do you think, you know, is really supportive to your music career? Do you think that social media is like a good way of, I guess, going about marketing yourself as an artist? Do you feel like it actually brings in new fans and listeners, or do you feel like it kind of just eats up time and is little return compared to the amount of work that you put in?
I do feel like it does help for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely people that become fans online. I definitely have people that have become fans, and I've never met them. And also other artists that are fans of my music, and now I'm a fan of their music too, and I've still never met them, you know. So I do think it is very important, and it is opening up a whole new world and all of that stuff. But I do think that it's still important to, you know, do it in person as well. I don't think you should focus at all on the internet.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like a lot of people just kind of either dismiss the social media end of things, mainly because it's a lot of work. Do you like pretty much manage all of your own social media accounts and yourself as an artist, or do you have somebody doing all of that for you?
No, I do it. Yeah, it's crazy.
There's no shame in doing it for yourself. I hear you on that. It's a lot of work. It's yes. Almost as much as the music itself, which is kind of why I asked that question, because I feel like, at least for me personally, I feel like it kind of takes away time that I could be spending being creative.
Yeah. I feel that so much. I'm like, ugh. Like, I honestly, to be honest, I probably wouldn't be on social media. Like, I might not even have an Instagram if it wasn't for my music. I didn't have an Instagram for a while, like, you know, after like my friends had it and everything, and I didn't have it for a while. But yeah, for sure. It's definitely like, oh man, I need to be practicing piano right now.
Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think either way, it's important, you know.
For sure. For sure.
It's important to mention, especially that when somebody's that dedicated, like how you are, it definitely shows that you want this, you know what I mean? That you truly love what you're doing. Cause it definitely, I feel like it takes loving what you do to go through all the, I guess, BS that comes along with it.
The things that you don't want to, that you don't love. There's like some parts. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a question that I like to ask every artist that I've been interviewing lately is to kind of paint a scene, like a certain image of what their music, kind of give like the audience a picture of what your music represents. You know, I've had artists say like, okay, like, you know, imagine, you know, the mountains, there's a breeze, you know, whatever, just like, what's the imagery that comes to your mind when you explain or that it would describe your music and the vibe that it gives off?
I want to hear the person's music who said that there's mountains and a breeze. That sounds cool.
I'm just using an example. I don't know. I don't remember if somebody really said that. But.
So I would say most of it is like maybe like a sunflower field. A lot of the newer stuff, like my song Lighter and Let's Play, they're definitely like a sunflower field for sure. I think some of it is like just reminds me, like my new song Mind reminds me just of the color, like turquoise, just relaxing. Yeah.
Very interesting. I like the description with, like, you know, the field of flowers and then like colors. I definitely get that vibe. It's like happy, hey. But it also runs deep. Like there's a certain type of, you know, deeper story than just happiness. And I definitely get that vibe.
Thank you. I'm so glad you picked that up.
Of course. Just some closing questions here, I guess. Where can we find your music?
You can find it on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, you know, all that stuff, YouTube.
All the streaming services. Awesome.
Yes. And music videos on YouTube.
Is it under Abigail Jerry?
Yes, it is under Abigail Jerry. I am thinking about doing Abby J, like ABIJERRI, because I think that might be a bit easier every time. Somebody always spells my first name wrong. It's ABIGAIL, and then it's JERRI. So Abigail J for now.
No worries. If you end up making a change, you know, that's what we got social media for. Let everybody know. Cool. So we'll definitely check you out there. And where can we find you on social media?
Same thing. Instagram is Abigail Jerry, ABIGAIL, and then JERRI.
Awesome. Cool. I'll make sure to follow you there. And is there any new projects or anything that you're working on or anything new that you've released that you want to share with the audience and tell us about?
Yes. So I have a song called Hang It Up that is coming out. Don't have a release date yet, but probably in about a month. And I've been working on that song for a while. That's actually the first song that I recorded in Nashville. And we just, you know, I got onto other songs and released them. But now we just got that mastered and we got a lyric video. So I'm super excited to release that. I also have another song that I'm not going to say the title yet. That is going to be released in July. And I'm super excited about that one. That's definitely a Sunflower Field song.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to hear it. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really do appreciate you being here and spending your time, you know, just talking over being an artist with me.
It's been fun.
Yeah. And I hope that we can do this again in the future sometime soon.
Yes, right. For sure. I love that. For sure. This is awesome. I love the interviews that are just like conversations. Like we would probably have this conversation anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that.
Except I would be asking you a little bit more questions about your music too, because I'm interested, but we'll get there.
We'll get there after the recording. But yeah, thank you so much and have a nice rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Thank you so much.
Of course.